This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Mike Tice, a former NFL head coach, longtime O-line coach, watched all the tape on all the offensive linemen for a project he was doing for Yahoo. And his favorite offensive lineman in this draft class was Josh Connerly Jr.
How about it?
He'll be on the show to talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes at 2:30. I want to ask him why he liked Connerly so much. But let's get into what Washington did. They stayed at 29, Danny. And what was amazing about when they got on the clock was – all of the exercises we went through, clearly knowing nothing for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to the draft, a lot of the guys that we said wouldn't be there were. It was amazing last night how many of the players, for various reasons, fell. Some of them were medical, right? Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, based on this knee injury that we now know people are worried about and the health of his knee moving forward, he was available, was not supposed to be. They could have gotten Mikey Sanristil's college teammate and immediately added someone that they feel like they could plug and play on the outside. They chose not to. Mike Green, who was my second favorite pass rusher in this class, behind a pass rusher that was destined to go in the top three the entire time, and Abdul Carter. Green's got red flags based on allegations and issues legally, women involvement over his career dating back to high school. Obviously, those flags were so substantial that not only Washington, but every other team chose to pass on him. Donovan Ezeraku, we talked about from Boston College, 16 and a half sacks, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He's not going to be there for them. That would be a great fit. They chose not to take him. All because they wanted to protect their number one asset, Jaden Daniels, and complete their offseason project, their offensive line refurbishing, with bookend tackles Laremy Tunsil on the left and Connerly on the right. It's not what I saw coming, but everyone keeps saying, what'd you think? And my takeaway is, you'll never get me to be upset about picking an offensive tackle. And I absolutely love anything that results in making sure Jaden Daniels stays on the field. So if so facto, I like the pick.
Yeah. So the couple things curious about it. You touched on what they didn't take. I think it's always important. But point two, left tackle at Oregon. That's the biggest reason I didn't see that coming is you would assume that a team that drafts him is going, he's a left tackle. So there must be some ability or must be some thought that, of course, he'll play on the right side here. And again, naively, I thought, oh, here's what they're going to do. Brandon Coleman, who I thought played adequately to even well at times as a third-round rookie for the team this past year at left tackle, they'll kick him over to right tackle. They've now upgraded two different positions, the left tackle and the right tackle spot. Maybe you kick Wiley inside to the right side, for if and when Sam Cosby comes back. Maybe you have Coleman maybe potentially battle with Alec Reddy, but it sounded like they were kicking him to the right. And so that's all she wrote in my mind. You've now changed two tackle spots. Well, not so fast. I think now what we learned is either Coleman and Connerly are going to battle a tackle initially, or they view Coleman as a guard the way most of the league did in his pre-draft process. So it's interesting to me just how it's going to fit. But your takeaway is my takeaway. Going into the draft, I'm going, everybody's focused on defensive end and cornerback because that's the obvious need. That's glaring. And I think it still is, by the way. I think they've got work to do in those two spots. To me, though, the axiom of let's not count on miracles again. Let's not count on a miraculous, incredible, unbelievable run where they couldn't run the football, couldn't really protect Jaden Daniels adequately at times, and he worked magic down the stretch. They're playing ball control without being able to run the football. He was so good, he overcame some of their deficiencies. If I have a gripe, it's I wish they'd kind of focused some of this stuff last year. But you're never going to get me to be upset at going to get a marquee left tackle in Tunsil. You're never going to get me to be upset to go, we're going to do more to protect our young quarterback that's about to face a more arduous schedule. The league's had a year to adjust, and defensive coordinators have stayed up late at night figuring out how to stop Kingsbury and Daniels and everything else. I want him to be safe and sound. You will never get me upset and investing resources
it,
there.
To me, is so simple, right? What is the most important thing this organization can do? The best thing they can do is elevate and accentuate the skills of
Jaden Daniels. Maximize and protect, man.
That's all they should think about every hour of every day. You've hit the lottery with the quarterback. How do you keep him healthy? How do you get the best production out of him? How do you surround him with the most so that he can shine? It's business 101, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what is your best asset? Okay, how do we now explore and exploit that to be the best version of ourselves? Taking a tackle is going to help them do that. That's number one. Number two, you get a 21-year-old who Mel Kiper said on the telecast last night he thinks would be a top five-ish pick next year if he were to go back to school and then come out a year from now. That was a reoccurring theme when I was asking people last night about the Connerly pick. They said, this is a guy, it's a year-early pick, essentially. You play him at right tackle right now. And everyone says, well, you just drafted a right tackle at 29. Yes, you did, first of all. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not convinced, though. Let's say Laremy Tunsil, who's not a kid, he's a 30-year-old tackle. If in a couple of years Laremy Tunsil has played well and you're either not going to keep paying him or he starts to fade or isn't at the same level, maybe this is your future left tackle. Yep. Maybe this is your long-term answer at left tackle. But at 21 years old, with the growth last football season that everybody talks about and unbelievable footwork and athleticism, there's a Trent Williams-type feel to this. I don't mean he's that caliber of player. Trent went in the top five for a reason. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But what I mean is Trent Williams used to play point guard at pickup basketball games at Lifetime Fitness in Ashburn. He would go between his legs and dunk.
Yes.
Left tackles don't do that.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen the video of this guy, but last year he was catching passes, caught a touchdown. He got a direct snap and ran off tackle on a goal line play. Like the ability to move and to be an athlete in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury,
you know, they like
the bubble stuff and some of the screens, I think it makes it makes perfect sense. And, yes. it is exactly what we should have been thinking about and weren't. You saw the note, I'm sure, from Cliffy. Kingsbury left the note on Peter's desk saying, get me the left tackle from Oregon, and he did.
I thought that was really cool. Now, I don't think we would have seen that note had Connerly gone or otherwise, or he wasn't available, or they picked somebody else. But
that would be a weird note for Adam Peters to show.
Somebody left this.
After they took Mike Green, right. If he said, you know, Cliff Kingsbury left me this note. Sorry, Cliff. And then crumbles
and
it up.
And then tore it up. Again, the folks that are disappointed, by the way, that's what's beautiful about this whole thing, right? Everyone's going to have a reaction. The way mock drafts work and the way prognostication, this whole industry works, is you have somebody smart, look at what they perceive as the needs of the team are, and then try to line up a player that has those attributes or plays that position or whatever. So anybody's disappointed, it's because you thought they have to get an edge and there are going to be edges available. And there were multiple edges available that I actually thought that's where they were going to go. One of those couple guys. You mentioned Ezeraka. I thought that was going to be the pick, to be honest with you, until I saw Connerly. But remember, they've got a different set of plans. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're right. This group has gotten some benefit of the doubt from me, at least. They've got a vision. It's not just, this year we'll try this, and this month we'll try this, and, it's all kind of different. See Rivera and the Marty Party. So to me, they identified their largest potential paradigm, maybe not need, but the largest thing, the most important thing is kind of not to pat myself on the back, but kind of the summary that you and I are saying here is that's not getting easier for Daniels. We have to make sure we're doing everything we possibly can to secure him and then to maximize him. And that became a priority here. They needed to upgrade that offensive line, and it was a more glaring thing with a player that they valued higher than some of these other defensive ends or corners.
They had a choice. They could have taken a player at their biggest need, which is what I would have done. They did not.
Right.
They could have gone to their second biggest need. Would have liked that too. They didn't do that. I don't even think tackle was a top three or maybe even a top five need for them, honestly. Not that I'm a Wiley guy. I think I was one of the first people to beat that drum that I was out a few weeks into year one of Andrew Wiley with a different coaching staff. But I just didn't think with Coleman now able to move over and take that job from him on the right side.
I didn't anticipate it.
They didn't need to do it, but they wanted to do it. And I'm okay with that. And they liked the player enough. You know, as desperate as they are to trade back because of how limited they are in the number of picks, that there were absolutely teams trying to come up and called them. And they said, nah, we're good. This is the guy we wanted. That conviction makes me feel even better. The last point I want to make on this is I also think there is an element of that pick. While it's not reacting to the night, but you've got to look at your division. You have to look at the teams that you play two times a year and what they're good at. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl torching offensive lines all the way through, including Kansas City's, right? They've got a great front. Jalen Carter's an animal. Nolan Smith gets back healthy. Stud. They paid Bryce Huff a ton of money. Really, really good defensive front. You've got to be able to be prepared and be able to stop them. The Giants last night made what was my favorite pick of the first round because it was super easy when they got Abdul Carter in the top three. But Brian Burns, who they gave up ones for last year. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best D tackles in the league. That might be the best defensive group of four on paper in the NFL at this point in New York. Dallas is a tier down, in my opinion, but you still have Micah Parsons.
They're still good,
They signed Dante Fowler from here, who was a double-digit sack guy last year. They paid Adigi Zuwa, who's a good player. So you're in a division where they can get after the quarterback, and you better be able to feel really, really good at both tackle spots. And if you say, well, what about Brandon Coleman? They may have thought all along, we'll try him at tackle in the meantime. He was a third-round pick. It's not like he was a top 15 pick. If he moves to guard, so be it. He could be a really good guard. I mean, Washington did that with Brandon Scherff, and he was a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
So you could still get great value out of Coleman if he's your long-term left guard. And that's my guess now is that you'd have Tunsil at left tackle when everybody's healthy. You would have Coleman at left guard, Biotish at center, Cosmi at right guard, and then Connerly at right tackle.